we'll make a start, and what we do, I just encourage people when they are speaking to turn your mic on, because as you know, you're being recorded. Item one, apologies. And turn on remarks. I have apologies here from Sean Darren Barr, Morris, and Kit Rockford. Any other apologies? No. Wonder if Chairman's remarks. On behalf of the committee, I would like to express my condolences to the Chairman of Council, Councillor Mulgrew, on the death of a father. Hopefully we can send her a letter to that effect, you know, our hearts go out to at this very, very sad time. Second one is an invitation has been extended to members of the active and healthy communities to attend the NFLI All Ireland Forum Seminar, Brexit and Energy, Irish Renewable Energy Potential and Irish Nuclear Emergency Planning on the 22nd of September from 10:45 to 1 p.m. in Navan, County Meath. So you are invited to go along to that if you wish. You can put that in your diary.
Sure, sorry. If any members are interested, email Sinead Trainer, Environmental Health. Sinead.Trainer@nmb.org.
Are we going on capacity or transcending council?
Well, Chair, but I think we need to move that there because we're going to represent council at an end for them travel. So we need to take that decision now. Are we going to, for example, Councillor Henry, if you want to go, you know, if you're going and anybody going, will they be reimbursed for travel?
It's a seminar, they're all on a meeting, so I don't know the answer to that.
Well, you've heard their proposed that maybe there's always one to go to, that Councillor Henry, one of the Councillor Burns has proposed them, you know, and as we're in agreement, you know, it could be sent. Is there any other names that would like to go?
Well, try to be attentive to the co-chair on the forum,
so. Yes. 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 Did I see your hand up, Councillor Andrews?
No, it's just going to take the chair.
Yes, no. That's okay. So, you're all in agreement that Councillor Henry goes along on behalf of council?
Yes.
For this committee? Yes. You've been delegated Councillor Henry to go along. Item 3, notification that a letter of congratulations has been received from Dean Wright to all the staff in the Newry Leisure Centre Gym for their helpfulness and friendliness following his GP referral. Item 4, we have an additional item on I requested the board to get in route in relation to memorandum of understanding between Killay and the Community Association Newry Moon and Down District Council. Now what I'm going to do is, because after items for noting, I'm going to pick this item first on the agenda so well and get it out of the road. So that's the chairman's remarks. Declaration of interest. Action sheets arising from through them page by page. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9. Page 10. Page 11. Item 4. Page 4, local action plan. Janine, I'll take this.
Yes, Chair. As previously reported, the recommendations from the Peace Corps Partnership will now be tabled at AHC for approval. In addition, this paper seeks approval from the committee for officers to submit applications to SEUPB for understand that it's in line with the deputy need and subject, of course, to the Peace Corps Partnership approval also.
Anything that you propose, Council of Public? Propose the Council of the Public, have a seconder. Council Anders? Item 5, Community Centre Effectiveness Review. Janine again.
Yes, Chair and members, this report details progress relating to the ongoing Community Centre Effectiveness Review, and I know that there's quite a few reports here until now. Specifically, this is looking at the Stage 3 recommendations, and just to reassure members, all of the recommendations from Stage 1, 2, 3, 4 will be considered collectively at the end of the review, and a presentation by CDRCM and the whole review will hopefully come to committee in November, where we get to individually break down the recommendations before signing them off with the committee.
Well, happy enough for that. We have a proposer. Councillor Brown, seconder. Councillor Kramer. Item 6. Financial assistance, call 13, timeline, Janine again.
Chair, yes, under decisions required, we have a typo. The decisions required would be to note the proposed timeline because members will be aware we brought a paper to committee looking for approval to go to call 3 in our last AHC meeting. So the timeline is to be noted, but we require approvals for the thresholds within call 3 of the financial assistance process and to approve specifically the budget for the sports capital call.
I was supposed to ask this one of the things that I was concerned, I know that was lost out today, is that these projects have to be finished as usual by the 31st of March. I just find that's very tight. We're getting it in, getting the application by the 27th of October, and so that's not going to be ratified probably the 1st of September to have the information out. Pardon?
It's for next year's, we're going out very early for next year's call. It's fair point, sure.
Okay.
It's fair point, but it's for next year.
We're
taking better than we we've tried to pick up lessons from the previous 2 years, which is each vice group speeded it up each year, it's still been a bit late, so that's why we're getting so early for next year, too, about groups of time.
So you proposed that, Professor O'Connor?
Yes.
Julie, I also want to reflect praise on management for doing that, because they didn't appear they were moving earlier, and now they are actually responding to complaints on this matter, so I'm just grateful that you've actually done that.
Councillor Burns. Second, Councillor Burns. All in agreement?
Aye.
Item 7 is the DEA 4 update. Has anyone got anything to say? So,
Chair, we need a proposer in the second.
Could we have a proposer then? Okay, Councillor Burns, Councillor Fenner. Right. Before we kick number 8, we'll go, as I said, to item 19 in relation to the Memorandum of Understanding in relation to the community group in Killeagh and the mobile at the Bridge Centre. I do know over the years myself, Councillor Andrews has worked very, very closely with this group. So we actually lobbied at the time to get that from the PSNI, to get it in just before the old Down Council went out of existence, and that it is very, very well used in that, and I think that's what we need, Memorandum of Understanding in relation to it. And I do pay tribute to the group that does run it, because they do a lot of good work within the town in relation to taking kids off the street on a Friday night. I know they haven't been meeting over the summer. Their first meeting, I think, is next week again. And I think they're doing an excellent job. And I think it's only right we work with them. And I think putting in the Memorandum of Understanding, you know, we can work with them in relation to it. They totally, when they had a meeting on Friday in relation to it, which I was at, in relation to it with council officer, and they're happy enough. So I will hand over to Councillor Andrews.
Well, thanks very much, Chair. This is a recent consideration. I'm sorry I couldn't make it. But in relation as a council, as a now up to date with the salvation to make something to make something to make something to make
Yeah. Yes, Chair. The group and council are happy that the agreement prior to this memorandum of understanding wasn't formalised, so it was hard to ever go back and work out who was to get what. But this agreement was formalised, and everybody, all parties are happy.
Okay. So we made another proposal, Councillor Patrick Sagnard. All in agreement? Okay, thank you. Item 8. Is the motion received from Sir Brown? Councillor Brown, you present.
Thanks, Chair. So you have a motion before you. This council will make the necessary changes to enable leisure facilities in our main towns, Newcastle, Kilkeel, Downpatrick, and Newry. Just to keep Councillor Burns happy, Castle Island is, of course, a main town. Just not the pressure centre yet, but doesn't mean it's not a main town, clearly. To open from 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings as of the 2018-19 year of council. So I've been contacted by several constituents recently who are surprised that there are no leisure facilities in the council area which are open before 1 p.m. on a Sunday. In particular, they've highlighted the lack of activities and facilities that could be available to tourists, children, on Sunday morning, which is Sunday morning will be one of the prime times that these two groups will have to explore the district and the facilities that it has to offer. Also, Sunday mornings are often with our increasingly busy lives one of the only times that people might have off to work out, exercise, go for a swim and that sort of thing. Not me personally, I'm usually in bed till 11 a.m., but some people I've been told to do that. I'm also surprised that leisure centres right across Northern Ireland do open a lot earlier. So Oma, Bangor, Lisburn, Derry, Carrickfergus all open at 9 a.m. Warren and Armagh open at 10 a.m. Yet Newry opens at 1:30 p.m. Downpatrick, Tokyo and Newcastle open at 2 p.m. So really it's just trying to bring this in line with other similar centres across Northern Ireland. I am aware, after speaking to the director, that the new centres in Newry and Downpatrick will be opening earlier, but I would still like to make the request that the current centres are opened earlier as a sort of run into those opening times. Obviously Newry may well be opening before the next year anyway, but Downpatrick certainly won't. I believe that if the new opening hours are marketed effectively, it could result in an increased income for the council. I believe plenty of people would use it. And if we can't make a decision on the opening hours today, I'd be happy if a report was brought back by the officers of this committee and the associated costs, and then we would make a decision.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Well, as chair, I was going to ask that officers bring a report back and the costings, because I don't think we can take a decision here tonight when we don't know what the costings is going to be and the effect it's going to have on council. The good thing is that Newry Leisure Centre, it has already been programmed for that it will open at 10 a.m. I have been told as chair that when Down Leisure Centre comes on stream after it's been built, that it will also be included. Now, the concern that I have is I don't have a problem with leisure centres opening on a Sunday, quite frank. My concern is the costings, but my concern also is do we set a precedent? Because I know for one, I would be asking for the Bridge Centre in Killyleagh and the Ballina Hedge Centre, which is my electoral area, to also be included in that there, and the costings for that, because I know what's going to happen. People's going to come. We have a full fitness suite in Killyleagh, which is used very, very well. I'm going to have people coming and saying, you've got Torquay open, you've Newcastle open. You know, yes, they could maybe look over the two major centres been over, which open, which is Newry and Big Paddock. But I know what's going to happen in a while. People's going to come and say, well, why is that not open? Are we being discriminated against when it comes to opening? So the way I look at it is that if we're going to open leisure centres, they're either all open or none's open. That's my view, and that's the way I would be going as someone who would be voting on the issue further down the line. But we need costs, and so we do. But I hope that the director maybe bring the costs back for what it would cost to open what Councillor Brown has asked for, plus the costs, what it would cost to open all our facilities. Because if we have to tell them, people maybe want to go somewhere before 11 o'clock or before 1 o'clock. Ballinahinch is the same. They maybe want to go there. So they do. So are we going to discriminate against them? Now that's my view on it. Councillor Kilpatrick.
Okay, I would say the previous thing has said there, study officer before me said that it's all open or none open. I do believe that the very one which we previously have agreed that will open at 10 a.m. and then there's a John Hatton one whatever else opens at 6:30, but that's already been previously agreed, okay? What I do think is that if somebody becomes a member of the one community, the one leisure centre, that this will roll out, but I do think that it has to be a lead-in from one centre open right through to be created over a period of time. Because I would say that the technology that we will be put in engineering to allow you to use, if I happen to be campaign, that I can go and use that leisure facility, use the same quite card method of whatever, it is going to take time, but I do think that it has to be made. I do agree it has some cost, but I do think in time every leisure centre should be open earlier. But I think that it has to start with the nearing one, moving to the down traffic, moving it on further and further down until they're all open.
Sure. You maybe took note wrong. What I had meant was other centres, you have Muri already been catered for here within this.
And then Patrick,
I mean, the other ones, smaller ones. It's either the mall or none of them. But the two big ones, yes, not a problem.
Yeah.
Because there are two centres of population, which is Muri and Downpatrick.
Well, yeah, but it will mean that
So I support the Hunter Bind proposal from the opening hours. Just so that there is that legislation protecting workers for working on a Sunday. Is not correct? And would that be communicated to the workers on a Sunday as well?
So it shouldn't be a major HR matters, you know, from a contractual point of view and changing progress of work, as well as any other issues which we will have to look at as well as just pure
yes.
costs.
That will come back in the report. That will come back in the report.
Yeah.
Councillor McMurray. Councillor Barnes.
Sure, just to say, I think, sorry to get what you were saying. What I would suggest is the report will come back and say, here's the cost of the pizza in the little room. And then that's the maybe an idea that would be the agency. Is there an appetite for following facilities in your town, anything like that? Because the Bridge Centre was the last group who might say, yeah, we would like to use that on a Sunday morning. But you might have facilities in other areas where there's a lot of paper, and then there's just staff and stuff like that. So I think if we use the local knowledge that we have in the UK, we know what the cost is, that would be what the appetite is, and then come back and say, like, this is what we're going to do,
it's really to follow on from what you have said. Certainly, you know, Ed, concerns about costs associated with it, and again, as Councillor McMurray said, about the workers. Right, I think we need to iron out all those issues before any final decision is made on it. So I would certainly be happy to have your proposal and report is brought back to this committee for further discussion.
Councillor Enright.
Speaking to support the motion, just put me in mind that we had a similar discussion to this about 14 months ago, in which the director did say that he was working to ensure that earlier time were available on Sundays. I think the timing was also talking about bank holidays, but we had a lot of complaints. I know from my wife and her friends that when the children are off school, there's a bank holiday and the leisure centres aren't open, they're asking me what the hell do you think the girls are playing at. We discussed this at the time. Now, I know that Michael said he was looking at this as well, and welcoming the fact that we have the 10 a.m. openings at the major centres, and Patrick is requesting that maybe it be looked at more generally, but I'm also concerned about the bank holidays when families are off together and the opportunity to sit down to our facilities. I know it's an increasingly health conscious world, and people are out there. At the weekends trying to catch up on their fitness. So with what's happening at the bank holiday as well.
The director, go ahead, Michael.
Well, I was just going to say, Chair, quite happy to include bank holiday costings in that.
Which we took a report to, I think it's possibly towards the end of last year. We'll address the extent of the summer bank holidays, which is from April to August, where all facilities had those open and the committee's decision that it's good to say that the centres have been closed, but that's a matter for the director very much of the team.
Did they get figures about how it went for the bank holidays?
Yes, absolutely.
pretty well.
Very good report.
Then within the report, Councillor Trainor.
Hey, well, sure, just really, it's a good idea to report going back because, as Councillor Burns said, you pointed out, we need years, whether there's demand, whether there's a need, for all these centres open. And as the chair already pointed out, we have many less facilities. We have four major less facilities, but we have many leisure facilities across the district. So if we are looking at opening these four, we need to also look them at the smaller facilities which are in the second PDAs. So truly support the recommendation for report.
Right, thanks very much. So is there all in agreement that the officer will bring back to the court, yourself, Councillor Brown, the panel and the motion? Okay, so we're all in agreement there. Item 9, Uri Leisure Centre opening sales promotions. And that's Roll.
Thank you, Chair. And the votes will come from members here. What we're asking for approval is to undertake some specific promotions in the run-up to the opening of Uri Leisure Centre. Again, this is with the goals of driving public participation and increasing the next offer to service. So we look at a select number of memberships for participating, and we're also looking at some free passes. So I just encourage more people who perhaps aren't using service to come in. So it's really seeking approval to implement that process.
Heard the officer. We're all in agreement. Heard the proposer, please. Councillor Pike. Seconder. Councillor Patrick. Item 10. Uri Leisure Centre soft bread operating arrangements.
Yes, Chair. Again, that is the report. We have the background, which is Uri Leisure Centre will have a new indoor soft play area. We don't have any other facilities, similar facilities within the council for comparison. So we've put down a recommended operating practice and pricing strategy for the committee to consider. The details are in Appendix A, and also recommend that the council approve what is set out and allow us to implement this before we go into the council's board.
You've heard the officer again. We're all in agreement. Thank you, Hart, again. Proposed for a seconder. For a seconder. Thank you, Trainor. Item 11. New Leisure Sports Visualization. On again.
Thanks, Chair. Again, this is one of the key work streams that officers will be working on for your indoor leisure business plan. Marketing plan is obviously very important to drive participation and get more people through the door. So we have been working now in the background for the last number of months with a specialist marketing expert and also with our own marketing department to potentially define and implement a new marketing plan for the whole service for this newly going forward for the high end of the open of the leisure centre. One of the key elements of this is how extensive the service will look and feel to customers and how this can be visualised for all of the facilities that we own. In addition to that, we also need to tailor certain messages to the visualisation. So you can see within the appendix there that is this new sort of be active concept which is coming out. We hope that we can sort of change that to put a lot of strategies to fill it to what our service will try to promote. We're seeking approval to proceed with that and to start the implementation process. There's also additional marketing costs that we need to capitalise for the Uri Leisure Centre for phase two, in the region of 20k to get this fully launched out there in the public. Once we've completed that for Uri, we'll be looking to roll this potentially this new image out and this new visualisation across all of your facilities. So all of your existing services have the same looking feel for all your customers.
And then Patrick?
Yep, I would like to propose that officers like to say that they haven't had a tour of facilities. Some more fascinating to share. Absolutely fantastic. New equipment has just arrived. It is just going to be amazing. And it will want to, you will want to when you go there to get active. It is just the same. So I would say, and that's not even one being class, it really takes a wonderful class because it's just fantastic. What they have to offer there is just going to be so amazing. And they'll never throw down by the cost. And yes, like that, it looks sporty, it looks active. It helps to cover the finishing needs there as well. It just it looks the part, so I would definitely propose it. And I'd say anybody who is available on Friday to go and have the tour, because you will not be disappointed. It really is fantastic. So, what about you?
You've heard proposed by Councillor Patrick, or Councillor Collins. Terry, you have heard that the former chair has said it would make you want to be active, so me and you should have had all that. Item 12 is a request to match fund an innovative species eradication program in Daisy Hill Wood using existing resources. And Owen's going to take that.
Thanks, Chair. As Paper said, Daisy Hill Wood is a preferred local nature reserve in Tops of Arran Row. There's been a recent survey by Women for Renewables and Landscape Partnership, which part of the site is released to Woodland Trust. There's a recent survey that suggests that it's a major source of a lot of invasive species, such as Japanese knotweed, Himalayan knotweed, and giant hogweed. The Woodland Trust, with all this survey, the Woodland Trust are looking to do some eradication work on their part. It would be pointless for them to spread the invasive stuff on their land if we didn't do something to stop this on our land. A number of years ago, there was a court case of illegal abatement. It was in the legacy year in Moore. And very imaginative at the time, the judge awarded us the cost to do some environmental type work in Newry City. So it would be from that money that we were able to do this work. So just looking at the recommendations of the stage of procurement exercise for the contractor.
Councillor Hart, Paul. Did you second Councillor Frederick? Councillor Frederick, second. All in agreement? Item 13, request from the Federation of City Farms and Community Gardens to become local authority members. And we'll take that one.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, we've had a request from the Federation of City Farms and Community Gardens asking if we wish to become a member of the Federation. Supposed to encourage community gardens and allotments, which set a lot of points in their strategic plan for sustainability and for getting people active in health, etc. So it costs £800 a year, and we have it within the estimates, so it's just looking for approval that we would join that federation.
Councillor Henry.
Thanks, Chairperson. When Patrick Brown was in his bed in the morning, so I'm actually down at the leisure centre using his sports equipment and the swimming pool. And I do pass the pile of planks, scaffolding planks, that they are taking away for disposal because I'm damaging the property used for health and safety purposes. And I do know I have asked on a number of occasions why they can't be given to the four or five community interest groups who want these to make great sense. It seems to me if we've got £800 to spend, maybe we should be giving the £800 to the actual support to the community groups who are actually doing a lot of in this area.
Councillor Andrews, or is that Councillor?
I would agree with Geneva to provide information to the groups who are using allotments and community gardens. Is there any chance that we could have an update of the many community gardens and allotments we have on this country? Because I don't think that the advancement is going to have to go along with it. I think after we have that information, we can decide if it's supposed to be a man.
I So you're making a proposal then? Counselor, your proposal.
I wouldn't be prepared to vote on a bill in any allotment of community garden we have in Mary Moore and there.
So you're making that a proposal then?
Yes.
That it goes away and comes back with information. Yes. Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Enright? All in agreement?
Is there a deadline or?
Just to follow up on Councillor Enright's point about providing money to groups. Obviously, the financial assistance program that we do for the Downing Street is here earlier.
I have looked into these plans and I know we have had a number of conversations with it. As the committee members understand, and I know I haven't went back to you on this, but I've asked the question, contractually the plans aren't ours, we can't make the contract of having plans over. So I have asked the question. I haven't heard a direct response from the contractor yet, so I will chase that up tomorrow and get back to you. But I have followed it up. The issue, as I say, Chair, is they're not our clients. Contractually, they belong to the contractor, so they can do whatever they want with them, unfortunately.
Yes. Now, and getting back to.
Sir, Chair, one other thing. Just in terms of this Federation of City Farms and Community Gardens, the whole purpose of this is to assist groups in developing new allotments and community gardens and so on. So just on the back of those questions, their purpose is to create more of these and to assist groups to create more of them. Quite happy to bring a report back setting out in detail how many community gardens and allotments we have. But just when you're voting on it, just to bear that in mind, it's not about them funding ones that already exist, it's about them assisting us to get more.
And just to pick up on that, Owen had said that there has been an agency that has done their part of Daisy Hill Wood and that, and obviously it looks well, and this is the council's part of it. So basically, in getting a lot of work done in there, you're bringing it up to the standard of the other part of the wood. And that's what I was, you know, led to believe maybe when you could.
I know that was the previous report.
The previous one?
Yeah, that was
the previous one.
That was the report. Right, Councillor, 14 to 18 is for noting, but if any Councillor has any issues with them, 14 to 18, they just. Councillor Ahmed?
One of the reports is a 30-page document, which is a detailed report on the work of the department level. I was wondering whether a 30-page report on the working of your document requires more than just noting. There are many interesting bits within it. I noticed on page 27 it talks about the community project and Larry Horn project on the beach there. And you must say it was a report about the sanctity and congeniality, a biodiversity officer who helped us with those projects. I couldn't see the figures. I saw the figures for dog littering fines, but I couldn't see the figures for fines levied on people who were dumping on waste or littering. I was concerned that I think whenever I find these instances, I'm able to find names and addresses, and I am responsible to the environmental officers. They don't always seem to be able to do it themselves. And quite often, when I go to these sites, I'm neighboring these sites. And I come after them. I'm able to find the addresses of people who come to the building. So I'm just wondering where are those particular figures, and I'm just concerned that perhaps we don't always have the attention being paid to dumping in terms of contributions that we should have.
Sure, just to bring it on to a couple of points around Ray's point. Yes, I get what he says, a 30-page report. Suppose it wasn't, it's not that he's trying to hide away, it was just whether or not it was something that needed to prove or not. It's an area of work that doesn't, a lot of that work doesn't generally, as a routine, get reported to this committee because a lot of the statutory says it. So as part of, in part of our director plan, we had said, on an annual basis, we report on the wide variety of work within the health and wellbeing section. If you look through it, it shows, I mean, you're talking up on around about 15,000 contacts with businesses, individuals, community groups, etc. across the year, across a wide range. Up to the point about litter and dumping, that's no longer part of health and wellbeing. Now the issue will be they can often find people's names and addresses. If the people don't admit it to us, there's not a lot we can do. If they just deny having done it without evidence, we can't go anywhere with it, which is probably why certainly I can find the figures for that. So that was previously part of environmental health, but it is no longer part of waste.
Okay, but what's the real issue of dumping? I've heard from me and other men that here among the others that they dump, should it be a stone and dump them? Still below, you know.
Right, well, the legal advice is that it's not the fact that it belongs to them, it's who dumped it. Without the evidence that they actually dumped it, the fact that the name address on it is not strong enough evidence, so that's just it. I know that there was 96 families for littering, but some of that will be for illegal dumping. 96 family notices for between dog care and littering. Also, would be where dumping. So the majority of those, to be honest, would be for the dumping part, but on the dog care, and that is very hard to catch.
They haven't admitted that it was them who dumped it. Mm-hmm. Well, then they should name the person that they gave it to jump for them. Because from watching some of the programs that are leaving these issues from England, that was what they do. If you're an England, they're responsible. And if you say that you hired a little company to dump it for you, then name them.
That's right. It's rarely a company, it'll be somebody next door, or else I can't remember, or I don't know, I just put that rubbish in the bin like everyone else. You would also then be relying then to be a witness in any court case, which just, it's an onslaught. Occasionally people will own up to it, but a lot of people say, I have no idea how that got there, and unfortunately it's the legal advice is it impossible to pursue. You can serve a fixed penalty notice on them, but if they don't pass, you're...
And I say, it's on here, but should this not be the RAPS committee that should be dealing with this here? But I do know that it is a grey area, because at a perfect example, a couple of years, and someone a couple of years now, it's 3.5 years in the old council, where stuff was dumped, tied in one talking about the Toy Hill and that, and council came out. The fella said he put it out for the lifted, and it disappeared, and it was onager, so it was. He thought somebody had took it, but when they opened it out in the field, there was old Christmas cards and that was sent them in relation to it, but that still wasn't good enough, and a couple of utility bills. He said they put that stuff out to be lifted by someone to be taken away, but it disappeared. So it did, and there is a grey area. It's like the dog fouling, where I had asked for them to be named and shamed in the paper. There's a grey area there, you can't do it.
Sorry, sir, just to point out, it would be that the regulatory infection service committee now is just, it moved over in the middle during the year that we're talking about, that's why that was going
to come out. No, that's okay, so I'll go to that committee from, so that's... All right, hang in. Thanks very much.
Yeah,
Not by our side of the table.
You fancy?